What you are hearing is the sound of the latest U.S. immigration and border crisis in reverse. Buses bringing migrants caught in Mexico heading north to the USA back to villages and cities in El Salvador, apprehended or deported by the authorities. Increased deportation has been one of the U.S. responses for hundreds of women and children fleeing violence and poverty in Central America. So far, three planes have left the U.S. for El Salvador. Kate Sheehy, reporter for KJZZ News, has been investigating the situation in San Salvador, where disappointed and fearful parents and children have been sent due to a stalled immigration reform effort in Washington.
We know that a couple planes have arrived from the U.S. over the last few months, which has been mothers and their children. But there are also lots of people arriving by bus from Mexico, and several buses are arriving a couple times a week at a migrant processing center in the capital here.
Are these people heartbroken? What's the reception like for people and the circumstances of the deportations, as far as you can understand it?
Well, it's a mix. I mean, a lot of the families are relieved to have their loved ones back and know that they're okay. There seems to be disappointment that they didn't make it, that they got caught in Mexico on their way to the U.S., but also relieved that they're safe and they made it home in one piece.
What about the fear of gang violence that has really surrounded and motivated these people to come north to begin with? They're going right back to it. What have you found?
Yes, definitely. And that's where the fear remains. Talking to mothers and their kids here who just are at a loss of what they're supposed to do now. They have to find a place often to take their kid after they get back because it's not safe for them to go back to their neighborhood where they left because people know that they left. A lot of times they're leaving because of gang threats, sometimes even in their schools. So there's definitely that fear of, you know, what do we do now because there's not a safe place to go back to.
Here you are stuck. What can I do? I can't do anything. Only the government can help these boys.
Tell me a little bit about who that woman is, and is the government helping anyone?
That's one of the mothers that we spoke to at the, who was waiting to pick up her son, who had left because of gang threats within his school, pressure to join gangs. And actually, when she went into the migrant processing center to pick up her son, she had to do a brief interview with a government organization. And they told her that if her son tried to leave again, she could get her son taken away. And it made her feel like a bad mother. But she was in tears to us saying, but what am I supposed to do? There's nothing I can do to protect him. Only the government can help. And really, the sense that we got from most of these people is frustration with the government, that they're choosing to ignore how so many people live here in fear and poverty and with violence in their daily lives.
Well, it's so surprising that there would be a sense of tension between these families and the government when there's such a palpable sense of fear among young people. Here's a young man, Eduardo Rodriguez.
I don't have confidence in the police to do anything because there are police who are part of the gangs.
And he's a young man who hasn't even left. He's not become a migrant yet. He's just living in this fear.
Right, right. My colleague spoke to him in a town. This was in another town outside of the capital. And he was describing how terrifying it is to be a child in that neighborhood and the kind of things that he sees on a daily basis. Death, kidnappings, threats, and that, yeah, he feels like there's no security. There's nobody that he can turn to.
Kate, we've seen the infrastructure in the United States from the migration northward overwhelm the infrastructure in the U.S. at the border and elsewhere. What kind of infrastructure are you seeing in El Salvador to get these returnees?
There's definitely a sense here that, you know, the U.S. is wanting to send back families and kids, but that the government is not prepared for that. Now, they say they are trying to prepare. They are trying to collaborate between different government organizations and even NGOs to provide the resources and space that are needed to greet these kids and repatriate these kids when they arrive. But right now, they're not there. The facility I visited at the airport called Bienvenido a Casa, the government official I spoke to was telling me, see, there's just not enough space here to receive kids because when kids come home, there's so many different organizations that need to be involved. For example, kids receive a psychological evaluation to see what kind of trauma they have and, you know, if they have a safe place to return to. And also with the migrant processing center that we visited, other people I spoke to, volunteers that are working there, say, you know, people get there and they just want to leave because there's not enough space. It's just kind of chaotic. And they want to really make it a place where people feel safe and can even stay for a couple days, take a shower, see a pediatrician, but they're not there yet.
Finally, Kate, in your time in El Salvador, do you get the sense that the nation itself is unstable and filled with, you know, something approaching chaos? Because that's the story that we're hearing from people who are moving north from these Central American countries, that there's just no way for them to be safe in their own country.
Well, yeah, and I also lived here for 6 months. So I've visited many neighborhoods that are very poor, that are not safe, where it's not safe to be out and about and living freely, especially as a youth and even more so as a male child, because even the police and other adults often, you know, suspect that young men, boys, are part of a gang, and they're afraid of them before they even know who they are and what they're about. So they have the fear from the gangs, and then they don't receive support from their communities. It's a struggle for a lot of these people just on a daily basis to put food in their mouths and then also have to deal with the insecurity. And a lot of these communities, especially in the rural areas, are very isolated, and they don't have support and help out there or anywhere to turn.
So instability in El Salvador and a lack of clarity in immigration policy in the U.S. and the people that you're speaking with there in El Salvador caught in the middle. Kate, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Kate Chi is a reporter for KJZZ in San Salvador, El Salvador. Has this year's recent immigration reform initiative in Congress been moved along by the latest influx of Central American migrants fleeing violence in their home countries? Reform-minded Republicans on Capitol Hill seem to have gone silent since the surprise defeat of former Senate Majority Leader and immigration reform supporter Eric Cantor by a Tea Party upstart. So where do things stand between lawmakers and impatient White House and the business community seeking immigration clarity right now? We turn to Fernando Pizarro, Washington correspondent for Univision. Fernando, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me again.
So have the latest headlines, the latest Central American, you know, pictures of young people coming to the southern border changed anything in Washington, as far as you can tell?
Well, as you know, Washington seems to be at a standstill while President and both Congress are away. The president comes back this week from his vacation. Right now, there seems to be no action when it comes to solving this issue at all. You may remember that Congress left without necessarily fixing this issue or providing the necessary funds to address the crisis. When it comes to the executive actions that are expected and announced by President Obama back in June 30th, everybody is kind of in a waiting mode to see what the White House decide what to do. Everything we've seen in media reports lately are either leaks, small leaks, or speculation of what the White House may do. The White House repeatedly, to us, to other media, to many people, keeps on saying, we haven't made a decision, we haven't made a decision, we're still looking. They're holding meetings with business groups, they're holding meetings with advocacy and stakeholders to see how far they can go, but they are still waiting for a so-called report or evaluation by DHS Secretary Jay Johnson.
So the ball is still in the air as far as the White House is concerned. They're interested in the issue, but I'm wondering how the business community is running out of patience here in terms of they want clarity, right?
Yes. Well, of course, the White House seems very interested in the issue. The question is, when will this happen? Another thing that has to do with Congress that we're hearing rumblings that the Senate Democrats are a little concerned about the timing of this announcement, and they may want this announcement after the November election. Some other people say, no, that's not a good idea. We need to help the Democrats. This is from advocacy groups and, of course, members of Congress in the House that are a little worried about their own races. So we will have to see what happens when it comes to that, to the timing of the announcement and the range of how far the White House is willing to go. When it comes to the business community, remember that the business community has for long demanded and been behind a comprehensive immigration reform, and they want basically low-skilled and high-skilled visas, temporary visas for workers to bring them in and to use, you know, to be employees of their companies. What they've been thinking and proposing is that maybe some unused green cards, that happens because a lot of countries and there are a lot of quotas when giving green cards, especially for family reunification and other countries that have high levels of immigration to the U.S., go unused, that those get transferred to work permits for spouses of workers that are here. So that could solve some issues for the business community and make them happy while we're waiting for some executive action on the president. But that issue alone does not address at all the issue of undocumented immigration and the situation of deportations that many of the advocacy groups are asking for relief for all these months.
Do advocacy groups think this is going to be pushed off for another electoral cycle?
No, the advocacy groups that favor that the president gives some relief for deportations, they are afraid and they are totally against the notion that this gets pushed back. The rumblings that we're hearing is that the Senate Democrats are a little concerned about their other options in the Senate come November, that they may be pushing for the White House to push it back. But the advocacy groups as a whole or in general, they prefer that this gets done the sooner rather than later.
Fernando Pizarro, Washington correspondent for Univision. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.